Sheridan.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffeyne Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
This August, discover the magic of Peridot at Legacy Diamond and Gems. Born and fired, carried by volcanoes, Peridot is one of the few gems that glows naturally at night and the only gemstone to have been found in meteorites. Ancient sailors wore it for protection. Mystics believe it could chase away darkness. Celebrate your story with a gem that's traveled through time and space. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every stone tells a story. 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
At First Northern Bank of Wyoming, we believe where there's agriculture, there's strength. And it's at the heart of everything we do. Hi, this is Amber Jensen. And from calving to haying and shipping, we're your trusted financial partner, season after season. Visit us at 29 North Gold Street or call 307-673-7777 to learn how we can help with all your ag lending needs. First Northern Bank of Wyoming, your trusted partner in agriculture for 140 years. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 402576.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Thursday, August 14th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan City Council member Steve Brantz and Chief of the Sheridan Police Department, Travis Koltiska. Good morning, gentlemen. Welcome back.
I
don't know how this is going to go.
You hear that applause. That is awesome. Thank you, Sheridan. Yes.
Well, I'll turn the applause sign off, and we'll get right to
it. Okay, yeah. Skip over that.
Oh, guys, it's fantastic that we started off with a laugh. We got a lot of things to talk about. Chief, how you been?
Good, good.
Been a while since I got to see you.
Yeah, well, you're the one that took vacation.
I did.
So, for the record. But
had to go get a breather.
Yeah, I don't blame you. So, no, things are good down at the police department. We got two new officers in our field training program. One just graduated from the Wyoming Law Enforcement Academy, Hunter Pope, and Bailey Moss was hired in early July, and he is starting the FTO. And we'll complete FTO before going to the academy. So
that's fantastic.
We got some more candidates testing this next week, trying to fill those vacant positions. But we got some good traction, so things are going good.
Council member, how's your summer been?
You know, it seems kind of gone pretty fast. I can't believe it's almost time to go back to school. I drive school bus on the side, so I think what week after next I start again. So watch out for me. I'll be in a big yellow bus. So. But other than that, it's been a great summer. Not a lot going on with the city. I mean, it's anything out of the normal, but we're going to have a good year. It's going to be a good year for the city council.
Yeah. Now, when it comes to back to school, we will be addressing school buses and things like that. And I'm glad they sent me you today so that I can get the perspective of someone who's out there with the kids. So we are going to touch on that because that is something I've decided I'm going to become pretty passionate about over the course of the next year. People passing stop school buses, I think, has become quite the pet peeve of mine. I just don't understand it, but that will come a little bit later. Chief, kids are going to be walking to school. What are the top safety reminders that you can give both the drivers and those students?
Well, I think first off, it's incumbent upon the parents to make sure they have good conversation and education with their kids that are going to be walking to school. We all know that children aren't the most attentive. Mm-hmm. They, you know, will follow if something goes across the street. They may follow it, and it may not be at a crosswalk. It may not be. So it's really incumbent upon drivers, and not just directly at the school zone, but in the vicinity where kids may be walking from, to really be watchful. Slow down. Mm-hmm. You know, if the speed limit is 30, you don't have to do 30 miles per hour, especially those hours when students can be walking to and from school. Slow down and watch. And it's really incumbent upon all drivers to use extreme care when you're traversing these areas. It's just our responsibility as responsible drivers.
And you know, I picture in my head the scenario with multiple parked cars along the side of the mm-hmm. road. There's a lot of room in between those that a little one could be hiding.
Absolutely.
And you don't even know they're hiding back there until they jump out in front of you.
Yeah.
And if you're going too fast, then something horrible is going to happen.
Very much so. And it's just one of those things we want to avoid at all costs, because that is probably one of the most tragic things that can happen.
Absolutely. And we do not want that to be a cause for everybody else to take action. We want everyone to take that action now. School zones are important, but as the chief said, I'd say maybe a 2-block radius around that.
At least, is important. Yep, absolutely.
At least, exactly. We know traffic gets a lot heavier during the drop-off and pickup times. What advice do you have for the parents and the commuters and the folks out there that are just trying to get to work to help ease this congestion?
Myself and the captain have been on here multiple times about this topic, and it boils down to, if your commute in the summer takes 10 minutes, it's going to take you a little longer to get to work. Plan accordingly and leave earlier than you would normally. There is going to be congestion. We all know what Lewis Street looks like, that drop off, and the adjacent area. Traveling up Fifth Street as students are driving to school, and even Main, it does get more congested at school time. So leave a little bit earlier and give yourself more time to get to work. That way you're not as rushed. You know, you don't get as angry because you're not getting there in time. Makes your bosses happier when you get there on time.
You're not going to get in trouble for showing up 5 minutes early.
Yeah, just take a little more time in your morning if you have to get there safely, because that's what it's all about. We want everyone to get to where they're going, and whether it's work or school, to get there safely.
Absolutely. And so that's kind of the point that I really want to impart to folks. 10 minutes, 5 minutes. That could mean the difference right there. Leave a little earlier. As I said before, you're not going to get in trouble for showing up a little earlier to work. I had the Wyoming Highway Patrol in here on Tuesday. They gave some advice to new drivers, as you have actually pointed out, those kids that are just getting that driver's license. They've got their independence. They are ready to jump behind the wheel. Chief, would you like to address the new drivers that are out there right now? They're excited. This is a brand new day for them.
It is. As long ago as it was, I can still remember when I first got my license. Amazingly.
Oh, that's a long time ago.
That was a long time. We'll just leave it at that.
What was the horse's name that pulled that car?
Oh, wow. that one hurt. But I know it's an exciting time. You have that independence. You have that freedom. But it comes with a huge responsibility. You are behind a 5,000-pounder heavier machine. It's just very imperative that everyone act responsibly, and those kids that are going to school obey the traffic laws. Drive accordingly, according to the, you know, how you were taught responsibly to drive. And if you do that, unfortunately, I mean, there's different trains of thought philosophies, but accidents can happen most of the time. I'd say a heavy percentage of the time, there's an error by a driver that's caused a collision. It's almost always. I can think of very few situations where it's not driver error. You know, if that deer jumps out between the cars, and that's one, you know. So we have a big responsibility as new drivers. Take your time, obey the traffic laws, and get there safely. Enjoy your freedom. You crash your car, you might not have it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And when I was kind of walking through these steps with my daughter, there was a lot of... Let's call it apprehension on my part. Not because she was a wild card or anything. I think it was just that natural, okay, here's your wings. Just not too close to the sun, please. Head on out. And, watching her kind of go out there and spread her wings and have fun behind the wheel. We talked about processes. Understanding processes about driving, understanding the laws, understanding what you need to do in various situations. Get those down first. Understand those. If you've got to be slow when you're doing that, everybody else will operate around you. Once you've got your processes down, once you know those laws well enough, then we can maybe do them a little bit faster, maybe come up to that par that everybody else is at. Just get to know that car, get to know the laws.
I would throw a comment in there about young drivers. Being a school bus driver, we see a lot of traffic around the schools and those that violate, say, the red light. And it's really not always the children. It's quite a cross section of everyone. Mm-hmm. And most times when I'd have somebody pass my bus, you look down and you can see them coming. So, of course, you hold the kids on the bus longer because you're always protecting the kids. You want to unload so they don't have to cross in front. But anyway, so you're unloading. You see a car coming. You just kind of have that idea that they're not going to stop. So you just wait. And they drive on by. And probably half the time they're either on a phone or they're drinking coffee. Yeah. And it's not just the young kids. I think they definitely have a part to play in this. But it's basically across all age groups. So, and that's one thing about the drivers. The drivers take a very strong responsibility for making sure that we try to unload the children on the sidewalk. We try not to unload them if there's cars coming. And we do the best we can. And we, I think in all, there's a great safety protocol. But we do need the drivers to step up and help us a little bit.
And that's, you know, the heads up. But maybe it's because it's something that we do every day. We start to take it for granted. As you said, Chief, this is a, 5,000-pound machine on average. And you're going 30 miles an hour. That comes in contact with somebody. Who's going to win? But we take it for granted that we are operating this thing. We are in control of this thing. Understand what you are doing, and you do that by keeping your head up on a swivel and stopping when you need to.
Well, the one thing, people hate to get behind a school bus. Boy, you can just see if they get behind you, they're just, oh my, the whole day just went to terrible.
Yeah.
But the school buses run off a really strong time frame. So if 7 o'clock, that bus is going to be at this intersection. At 7:05, it's going to be at this intersection. So if you get to that intersection every day and you say, every day I meet that bus and I have to stay behind it, possibly go a different way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have to go where the kids are, but if you're constantly thinking that you're being held up by the buses, find a different way.
Because you have a set route.
Oh, yeah. We, like I said, every day, the same time. So when you have a car that goes through your bus stop, and you've seen that car, you know, 300 days that year, and then all of a sudden the 301st day, they drive through because they're lighting a cigarette or drinking coffee.
Mm-hmm.
It's just because they've got complacent.
Yeah.
So maybe find a different route.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of people don't understand how deadly complacency can be. Chief, you've seen it 10,000 times. Someone just, I wasn't paying attention. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
It's so difficult to sit here and kind of make that justification to me because we've painted them yellow. We have large stop arms that come out with flashing lights, and you're going to tell me you didn't see it.
Yeah.
I'd be pretty upset. That's complacency pretty much at the highest level. Now, before we, because I am going to run a larger questioning segment about this school bus issue, but before we get to that, Chief, the little ones on bikes. You know, I can't tell you how many of my friends took bikes to school. And this was back 1986, 87. No helmet laws. I can't remember one kid wearing a helmet back in the day. Do we have helmet laws here?
Not for bicycles.
Really?
There's no laws. It's proper to do so. Actually, well, I want to recant that. It's been a while since I looked at our ordinance regarding operation of bicycles. But it's obviously we encourage it. We've given them out over the years at the police department, just giving free helmets out. And you know, and now especially we're not talking just bicycles. We're talking e-bikes that travel at higher rates of speed. The e-scooters or any of those types of devices, that different types of modes of transportation that the kids are using. They go a lot faster, and they again, just like we talked about earlier, the pedestrians, kids that are pedestrians, they're not always being the ones that are paying attention, and sometimes they don't understand that bikes have to follow the same rules, traffic laws, as any other motor vehicle when they're operating on a street. And there's certain areas you can and cannot operate them on a sidewalk. So there's a lot of nuances go along with bikes, but it boils down to best practice, wearing that helmet for the kiddos, being safe. Yeah, I don't think I knew what a bike helmet was until I was in my 20s.
Yeah. The pros used them, right? That's about it. You saw them on TV.
We were riding gravel roads on bikes, right. No helmet.
Still got scars, actually.
So, but yeah, we really encourage the bicycle use or the helmet use when you're riding a bike.
Absolutely. And they're making really cool helmets now, too. It doesn't have to be the old classic pot on the head. I mean, they've got all kinds of things. I got my daughter one that had some spikes on it, and she absolutely loved that thing. Yeah, they were rubber, but they still look tough, so she liked that. All right, on that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with the City of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Hey, Cowboy fans. Cowboy football single game tickets are on sale now. We can't wait to see you in War Memorial Stadium on Saturdays this fall. Whether it's being a part of the Gold Out against Northern Iowa, homecoming against UNLV, the Border War versus CSU, or other great matchups, let's pack the war. Get your tickets today at gowyo.com or call 307-766-7220. Go Pokes!
So I told my wife I'd made a doctor's appointment. She said, which doctor? I said, no, medical. I believe in science, not superstition. Well, the same goes for you fixing or tuning up your own 4x4, side-by-side, or lawnmower. Because it don't need voodoo, it needs a professional. At Hando's, they don't burn sage, they burn midnight oil. So remember, it ain't a spiritual journey, it's a tune-up. And you need to get that machine to Hando's Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Summer isn't over yet. Join your friends for an afternoon of art, community, and the creative spirit at the U-Cross Arts Festival, Sunday, August 17th, featuring famed guitarist Hayden Pettigo and local favorites The Instigators. The U-Cross Arts Festival begins at 4 and includes performances, poetry, and printmaking, as well as pizza from the U-Cross Cafe food truck. Registration is required, so get your free tickets to the U-Cross Arts Festival today at ucross.org.
I'm Aaron Lagaki, owner of Mossholder's Design Center. And if you've listened to Sheridan Media Stations anytime since the 1980s, you've probably heard our name. That's four decades of staying connected to our customers because radio works. It builds trust and keeps us in people's homes, cars, and their conversations. If you're running a local business and not using Sheridan Media, you're not just missing opportunities, you're handing them to someone else. Trust me, radio is worth it.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting, and this morning we are speaking with Sheridan City Council member Stephen Brantz, chief of the Sheridan Police Department. Travis told Coltiska, I told you we were going to talk about buses. I am going to go on to other things, but first I do want to talk about these school buses. There's a hefty fine, folks, for passing a stopped school bus. I myself would like to see it even higher. But, it's pretty substantial anyway, isn't it, Chief?
Yeah, it is. It's $435.
First-time offense.
Yep. And so I'm glad it's as high as it is, and I agree with you. It could be higher because it is, and I'll remind everybody the purpose of a fine is not a punishment. It's a deterrent, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to deter future actions. So we got to send that message that it's not going to be tolerated. It's not going to be appropriate. And so they're wrapped up pretty tight, too. I mean, but everybody should know by now that all these school buses have cameras on them, and the school bus drivers, when they see them, they can save that. They records, and there's the cameras are, I don't know where the school districts found them, but they're really good cameras.
Yeah.
You get really high resolution, and it casts almost no doubt upon what actually occurred on those situations. And we get all that evidence from the school district, from the bus barn. They send us all the video footage of the actually it occurring, and yeah, it's it. But We don't. We want that fine to be high, and we do not want somebody hurt.
Absolutely. Councilman Brandt, as a bus driver yourself, if you were to anecdotally tell me the percentage of that would be hard to determine. How often is this going on? How often are you, as a bus driver, watching these people just cruise on by?
We have basically 24, 25 routes every day, and probably every day there's at least one. So
that's incredible.
Yeah.
That number is way too high.
Right.
One a month is too high to me. But to think that at least once a day on 25 routes, there's one person.
One potential harm.
And I'll remind everyone out there that there is no place in the city of Sheridan where if those red lights are on, that they do not have to yield and stop for school bus. An interstate or a physical barrier, not the little raised median on Main Street, a very large, substantial barrier that if that's between you and the school bus, from a school bus that's approaching from the opposite direction, those are the only times you don't have to stop for a school bus. Like if there's a large physical barrier.
Trees or like an island?
Something a car could not pass through. Jersey barriers, large median of an interstate, which there's no school bus stops on an interstate, but there's no place in the city of Sheridan, probably in Sheridan County, where you do not have to stop where that school bus has stopped.
There you go. The second you see those yellow lights, folks, I would tell you to accept the inevitable. It's that those yellow lights are not a signal to rush around that. Councilman Brands, how often you see that? You start your yellow lights and they fly around you.
Well, you know, you just pick up a second sense. You'll be driving down the road and you'll have your ambers on and you can tell that the car's coming is not going to stop. So you just slow down. You do what you have to do. You know they're going to pass. You let them go through. Then you turn your reds on. But people are there. They take it as a challenge, and it's too bad. But we have so many good drivers in this community that they'll stop and they'll wave. But like I mentioned earlier, some of the people that pass us, it's really strange because they are totally thinking of something else. A lot of times they're looking right at you when they drive around you.
Mm-hmm.
So their mind is not in the game. But I was hoping we'd be getting better, but it just seems to stay pretty standard so many times per day and so many times per year. And
Maybe we should start these conversations over coffee or anything else. Folks just look at each other and just say, you know, you're not passing school buses, right? You're not putting children in danger. Nobody wants to be that person. So let's just not do it, folks. And remember, if you do, make sure you smile for that camera.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Let's turn to something that's got a lot of people talking. The bumper sculpture in Sheridan. Let's talk about this. Councilman, can you explain the on-loan sculpture program for those who may not be familiar with how that works?
Well, at this point, I wish my co-worker, Greg Lumen, was here because he's basically on the groups that do this.
Oh, he's the art guy.
He's the man.
He's fantastic.
But I'll tell you what it is. We actually have a group in Sheridan. We have a tendency to have some loaned art. The city actually owns some art, too, and we put that art up. The SPAC committee and the arts committee puts it up, and it might be there for a year. They move it around, and it enhances our community, gives our community some style. It's nice to have it.
When it comes to the public arts, what funds that?
Basically, it's private donation. They give a little money from our optional 1%. They get a little money from other groups, but it's pretty much self-sustaining. But there are some public funds that go into it. So, and it's also displayed on public property. So as a councilman, that's where I become more involved in it. If it's done privately, I have very little to say about it. But if it's done, again, with any public funds or on public property, that's where then I'll kind of step in and do a little oversight. You know, I made a couple comments about the new bumper statue on, I think it's Dow Street. And that came after hearing a lot of constituents complain that they thought that was totally tax dollar at work. And it's not. So that creates a little problem. When you see a lot of this artwork, it's not all your tax dollars.
Mm.
But there are tax dollars involved. We have to admit that. So, you know, I one of those people that I grew up a long time ago. I was born in the 50s, so you can do the math on that. But if I were to ask you, Floyd, where's the best piece of artwork in your house displayed?
Where everyone can see it.
Yeah, and it's probably will be, if as a parent, it was the refrigerator.
Mm. Oh, yeah, there
your kid
you go.
Would,
yeah.
Your kid would come home first and second grade. They'd have a piece of paper, and there would be something on it, and your wife and you would look at it, and you'd say, oh, that's interesting. And neither one of you knew what it was, so you'd ask, explain to me what that is, and your child will say, well, that's our family. And you'd say, boy, that's beautiful. And you'd put it on the refrigerator, private collection right there. And the only time it would ever come down is when you got another piece up there. But that's cool. That's art. And as the kid got older, that kid got better at it. And pretty soon, that artwork, you didn't have to ask what it was. You could tell what it was. And as a family, you said, oh, that's great artwork. And that refrigerator just kept getting new art, new art. The reason I bring this story up, as a grown man, almost 70 years old, if I look at a piece of artwork on a public foundation and I have to say, what is it? I think that artist hasn't progressed very fast, because I think art should be able to distinguish what it is. I don't care much for this impressionistic, what is it? You think about it. I'm old fashioned. I'd like to see a cowboy, an Indian. I'd like to see a pitcher. I'd like to be able to distinguish what it is. Now, I'm saying I don't have a problem with some of that artwork being different, new age, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is, but I just want to make sure that we do not go so far to one side that all of a sudden we start showing artwork that is offensive or political. I don't think that's going to happen with the people we have in charge now. The people that we have on our committees are just great people, and we're not going to see that. But beware, we have other cities that are going through the same growing pains where things have become art as anything. And I don't want Sheridan to becoming an area where we're going to start displaying anything and call it art.
What is this bumper sculpture? I haven't seen it.
It's actually kind of cool, I'll be honest with you. I don't see the need of it. It's just, it's over there on the creek by Dow. And it's just a bunch of, looks like fiberglass bumpers that are kind of molded in a kind of a sphere shape. A lot of texture, a lot of color. It's, you know, it's okay, but it's not my cup of tea. Now, I believe that we all have a tendency to think what art is for us, but my biggest concern was, is this the beginning of something that's going to be very offensive and very strange down the road? Not now, but be careful. We don't go down that path. I like the statues of, you look at it and you say, oh, that's an Indian, that's a cowboy, that's a dog, that's a fish. But when you start doing expressionistic art, I get a little bit worried about it. So, and my constituents, again, they're concerned, why are we spending money on a piece of art that I don't know what it is? So,
art's pretty subjective,
oh,
objective.
It is.
Kind of everything is different to everybody else.
And if it's private funding, if it's on private property, you can do that. I'm all for that. You know, if you have, again, that picture on your refrigerator of your child's whatever, that's great. If you have a picture in your house, that's great. But when you start taking public funds and putting stuff on public display, there has to be a caution done that you have to make sure that it's basically pleasing for the society, for your community standards, and do not just label it art and become confrontational. Not that we are. I just don't want to get there.
Who sets those standards?
Yes.
No, who? Who's standards?
Right now, the standards are set through the committees, like the SPAC and the committees. The city has very little oversight. I'm sure if something was offensive right now, as a city, we would do something. But as far as the placements, they get placed before we actually, the city even knows what they are.
Where do we draw the line of offensive?
Right.
Anyone can find anything offensive.
Well, of course it could. I agree. But I think we all know as adults what offensive would be. You know, if all of a sudden I decide to put something up there of maybe a religious statue of showing something that's not very nice about Christianity, that would be bad. If I put up something that looked like maybe a sexual organ of a body, that would be offensive. If I put a statue up there of a a man hitting a woman, that would be offensive. So other people would say that's art. We know from watching the national news what some of these cities put up for artwork. They take down the statues of their heroes and their war heroes and other people of importance, and they put up strange stuff because it's serving their purpose now. It's serving their agenda. It's serving their ideology. I think we have room for a lot of art. I just don't want to get art that is going to be wrong. And the thing is, and I know you've talked to people, and they say, well, what's nice about art is we can discuss it. We can discuss it. I think that's great. So if we can discuss it, you'll hear from me that it's, I don't like it. And I don't mean that's against you as a person or against any of your organization. But if we're going to open up for discussion, just like my constituents, we have to hear the fact that there are certain art pieces they don't like. And anyway.
Now, the artist will actually be here to meet and speak with the public in October. Can you share some details on that and why folks should attend this?
Well, first of all, I don't really know the lady myself. I did hear from one of our meetings that she would be here, and she, it sounds like it'd be a great meeting to go to and listen to her and get a little bit of her background and what the statue is supposed to symbolize and what it means. And that's fine. That's great. If a person wants to go do that, I would suggest you should. But just because I get introduced to a artist and I get maybe told about this is what this is supposed to represent, again, it goes back to the fact that my opinion is I still don't like it. I don't question the fact that we couldn't have art like that in town, but you're going to have to understand, you're going to hear from me that I don't like it.
When and where is this going to happen?
I'm not sure the dates.
October 9th.
Oh, October 9th. Thank
October
you.
9th. Chief, where? Probably good. There at the bumper sculpture.
Yeah, it's a good question. I don't have it in my notes.
I don't either.
Yeah, I just know it's October 9th. Watch for more information to follow on that.
Yeah.
All right, Chief, switching gears on you here real quick. Let's look at the Sheridan Police Department informing the public that the Deer Management Archery Program implemented by the City of Sheridan all the way back in 2007 will be continuing for this season. What do we need to know?
So, yeah, 2007 is a way to mitigate some of the deer-human conflicts in town. We were having a lot of crashes involving deer through those years. So as a way to mitigate that and just reduce some of the numbers, not eliminate, reduce. We opened up archery in certain zones within the city of Sheridan. The zones are traditionally on the outskirts, outside of what used to be the unpopulated areas. We've seen a lot of development that has changed a lot of that. But these zones are opened up for archery hunters, archery equipment only, individuals interested. Need to sign up at the police department, and it's essentially by signing up, you can't just go out there willy-nilly. By signing up, you're agreeing to abide by the rules and regulations of the program. And you can. There are designated zones. You can't just hunt anywhere. I know there's a pretty good buck I saw walking down Thurman the other day.
there's been a few out here.
Yeah, right, but that's not a zone. There's designated zones. You have to hunt in a designated zone. If it's on public property, it's just like state land out there. You can hunt that. But a lot of these zones are, I want to remind people, are still privately owned. That doesn't give you permission to just go on that privately owned property and hunt. You still need to secure landowner permission if you're going to hunt in an area that's not owned by the city of Sheridan in some of those public areas. And then we require a report at the end of the year, because part of this is to try to get an accurate gauge of the numbers that we're able to harvest. So we kind of know what our mitigation plan looks like. So it's all data driven. So after the hunt, even if you weren't successful, after the season, turn in a harvest report, just letting us know if you were successful or not.
So make sure that you've got all your ducks in a row before you head out there, folks. And double sure that you've gotten that landowner's permission.
And all the maps and zones are on our website, on the police department website. And you can also... If you need a landowner, you can use GIS or Onyx or some of those new apps that shows who the landowners are if you want to reach out and try to secure permission. But yeah, those are two critical things. Stay in those zones. and make sure you get landowner permission.
On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. More with the City of Sheridan right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jill Bates.
And Colton Bates with the Bates Team at Best.
When we're talking with a new buyer, our number one question for them almost always is, have you spoken with a lender?
We get it. It's much more fun to look at the property you might call home rather than discussing the ways you can afford it.
Talking with a lender first is an important step and an amazing progress towards buying your home. They will help you determine your purchasing power now or give you the roadmap to plan for great things ahead.
There are fantastic local lenders in our great Sheridan area. Go with who you know or let our team get you connected. Call us today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
Hey, Sheridan, something lucky has arrived. Lucky Seven's Gaming Parlor is now open on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience, from high-stake games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at LuckySevensWY.com.
Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
It's the final week of Mossholder's Summer Clearance Sale. Don't miss your opportunity to save 20, 30, even 40% off many items throughout our 18,000 square foot showroom. Sofas, chairs, recliners and end tables, rugs, lamps, bar stools and more have all received clearance prices. These specials are for in-stock items only, so the sooner you shop, the better your selection. That's Mossholder's End of Summer Clearance Sale going on now. Mossholder's, furniture is our passion.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm speaking with Sheridan City Council member Stephen Brantz and City of Sheridan Police Department Chief Travis Koltiska. Now, Chief, we talked about this briefly before the rodeo. I can't remember if you and I had a chance to sit down after the rodeo or not, did we? And talk about the chairs?
Boy, I talk about it enough. I probably
We probably did, but
you know what? We're going to touch on it again.
Yes, please.
You did thank the folks who followed the rules. You came out and thanked them. You know, thanks for not putting the chairs out until after 9 p.m. Let's talk about why that time was set and why that is so dang important.
So it was kind of arbitrarily set for the fact that it would have we felt it would allow for some people to try to find a spot for the parade as well as create the least confrontation and mitigate the least amount of problems by having it later in the evening. You know, everybody wonders, well, what's the big deal with the chairs? But there's a lot of things that can possibly go wrong when you're talking that those chairs being cluttered as they are out there on the street, on the sidewalks. And it's not just chairs. It's things, ropes that are roping off sections and big reservations that some of the businesses have put out in front of their stores. You know, they're literally roping between light poles and signposts and all that, saying this is ours. And it just causes a whole bunch of problems. I mean, first and foremost, it prohibits access to the businesses down there. I've got a lot of pictures, a few pictures I showed council after the rodeo, where there's chairs lined up, and if you were a pedestrian in a vehicle parallel parking to go visit a restaurant, you couldn't get out. You would not be able to get out of that vehicle safely. Or if you're elderly, it was going to cause problems. So, you know, if it was me and I was going down and I was like, oh, I'm not going to damage my vehicle I'm going somewhere else. I'm not going to visit the downtown if it was me.
I'm not going to eat there. Or I'm not going to shop there. It's just not going to happen today.
You know, and not only the getting out of a vehicle, but then when you're trying to traverse the sidewalk. I mean, sometimes there's no way if somebody needed accessibility, had limited accessibility, needed a wheelchair or a scooter to get around. Sometimes it almost eliminated the ability for anybody to do that. Even walking, you know, they're a hazard. Somebody can easily trip and injure themselves. And it's just, there's problematic at best. So we set that 9 o'clock. We asked everyone, and you know, I think it went a little better than it has in years past, but we're still not where they're at, where we need to be. And I'll, you know, I'll remind people that it's technically littering.
Mm-hmm.
You're depositing a chair on a sidewalk. It's littering. And we are in discussion about that. If this happens next year, and anything before 9 o'clock PM is just going to get collected by the city of Sheridan, taken to a safe location. So I guess if you're planning on doing it before 9 o'clock next year, put your name on it. So you know how to claim it, right?
Yep.
And because that's what we're discussing possibly doing is just collecting them, hauling them off to it. They can come to the police department parking lot and they can get them.
Yeah.
Because it's just get to a point where we've got to get a grip on this.
Public safety first.
Absolutely.
Even if someone doesn't perceive it as that, the SPD, those in charge, city council agrees it is a public nuisance. Mm-hmm. And will be treated as such.
Hey, Floyd, just so I might mention, I think it was about a month ago, it was on a Thursday, you had Public Pulse. And I believe at that time, it could have been maybe the chief or the mayor. I can't remember which one. But the conversation was about the chairs. And so this was a Thursday morning. And I was going down the street listening to the radio. And there were already chairs up on Main Street as you were talking about, you know, not putting them there. And then the chief also showed us some pictures, and they're nice signs that they put up on the poles that said, you know, please do not put chairs up. And right below that are all the chairs. So people, they just don't seem to care. And the bad part about that is there are some store owners, and they believe, well, I have to shovel my sidewalk and I have to clean my sidewalk, so therefore I own my sidewalk. But that's not the case. You know, so... the store owners, they do not own the sidewalk. They cannot say, well, this is my property. These are for my my clients. And that's what's happening. We have a couple businesses that are saying, you know, this is mine. Go somewhere else. And that you can't do that. So are we fortunate that only one day a year we have to worry about chairs? If that's all we had to worry about, life is good, isn't it? So do you really, how much do you pursue it, and how much do you just say, well, you know what, let's pick our battles, and this may not be one of them?
But I mean, chief, if we did throw our hands up at that, I mean, I can remember, what was it, maybe even the first year I was here, because we're Sheridan Media gets there early, buddy, and we start setting up that trailer. They make sure we're all down there around the same time. Then Boy Scouts get out there and get to work, so you get to see it before anybody shows up. And holy cow, that first year I've never seen anything like it. And I told that to my counterpart, Ron Richter. I said, this is amazing. And he told me, he said, oh man, this is every single year. I don't think there was a clear spot on Maine that first year that I got there. I thought, well, everybody's doing this. What the heck?
It's kind of funny. In the, I don't know, last 20 years, it kind of started off low. There were some chairs out there, and then all of a sudden it just started climbing. And I mean, we had times on Wednesday night, because there's still activities going on, when people would be throwing chairs out into the street, somebody who's visiting a local establishment downtown after hours, literally throwing chairs out into the street, others that are just decide to go sit in the turn lane. Well, there's not a turn lane anymore. Sit in the middle of the street, and it's somebody else's chair. So
yeah.
a lot of tragedies averted, thankfully, but it kind of climbed where it really peaked a couple years ago, a few years ago, where it really, there were individuals putting chairs out Tuesday and Wednesdays.
Oh my gosh.
And so it's, and then we've really tried to get voluntary compliance from our community members, like, come on, if this is a problem, please understand how this can be a problem and help us. And yeah, we have seen some of that. So I think this, even though it was still a problem and it happened this year, people, chairs going out too early, much earlier than they should have. Maybe we can get some voluntary compliance with this problem.
But the discussion is being had that, you know what, those who are going to voluntarily comply have complied, and the other ones who don't can claim their property from the SPD after the parade.
It's been in discussion. I guess I'll put it that way.
In discussion.
There's no definitive decision made on what actions will be taken.
One thing that we've talked about before, Chief, when you do implement something within an ordinance, or the council does, excuse me, and then you have to enforce it, first year or two, you call that like, hey, this is an education year. I'm not going to cite you. I'm not going to fine you. I just need you to know this did change.
Yeah, oftentimes, that's how we approach it. Obviously, it depends on severity. If it's something that's life or death, there's no warning associated with that, right?
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, I can't risk that.
That's obvious. But when there are minor changes that a change in law that an individual may not be aware of, we try to educate, warn, and enforce. That's kind of our progression of standards. Mm-hmm. But again, it depends on severity. And if it's been 2 years ago and they're like, well, I didn't know that you couldn't do X, Y, or Z. It's like, well, okay, we've had enough of a grace period here now. Well, yeah, now you do.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, Ron, he makes sure to get, I think, at least one or two stories out a year about the chairs, about, hey, things have changed. Let's mm-hmm. go ahead and change this up. And then him and his wife usually take that bike ride the night before the parade. Yeah. And he always texts, they're still out there, man. They're still there. Okay. So I've only got about 5 minutes left. And before I move on, I just do want to tell folks, you know, everybody wants their spot at the parade. Believe me, I know. I dealt with a spot at the rodeo not very long ago. And so you want to make sure that you get there. But we got to also keep in mind public safety. We got to respect the rights of others, not just our own. Okay. Now, Councilman, city offices and services are going to be closed for Labor Day. How will the holiday affect trash and recycling pickup?
Well, actually, if you're on Monday pickup for recycling or trash, it'll move to Tuesday. Same time, have your cans out by 6 a.m. And City Hall will be closed that Monday. Our regular city council meeting will be held on Tuesday, September 2nd. And again, this is Labor Day, so it's a sad thing, but it means kind of like our summer's about over.
Yeah. Yeah, it's getting down there. Chief, what's on your radar now that the summer days are kind of winding down?
Back to school's a huge deal. Our SRO is getting ready to go back into the schools. We always focus on a very heavy and presence in and around the schools the first week. I will grab a uniform, put a uniform on, and get out there in the school zones, just be out there on foot and be invisible. And so it's just, it's super important to us, and we want everybody to be aware. Back to school is our immediate radar.
I'm pretty sure you just noticed I got a little excited there. That's because that was going to be my next question. kids love seeing it. Kids love seeing the officers and the chief out there early in the morning, shaking hands, saying
I love
hi.
It. It's fun.
What kids, a great time of year.
Yeah, they still smile at us when they're that age. I always picked elementary school.
I'm going to be over here.
Yeah. They don't know any better yet.
Yeah, know any better. Thanks, counselor.
That's absolutely fantastic.
I love the high fives and the kiddos their first day, and I love watching just the ones that are just all grin because they're excited to go see their friends again, and then the ones that are like, oh, my Lord, this is my first day. They're latched onto their parents' legs like no other. And then they got the moms crying, too. It's always, I love the first day of school.
And the pictures, the picture opportunities that are out there.
Oh, yeah.
I'll admit, I was that guy.
Yeah. When you drive school bus on the first day, You pull up to a stop, and every mother has to take a picture of their child getting on the bus. So
that's the only day that's not on schedule.
So other than that, the first day might be a little slow for the buses to move because people are taking pictures.
Yeah, moms need to get that. You know?
Dads are thrilled to death. They're high-fiving each other. Moms are crying.
We all mourn in our own way, right?
Yes. Dad was crying on the inside.
That's absolutely fantastic. Gentlemen, I want to thank you so much for coming in. One more time before we go, Chief, where should I go to the deer archery program for the city?
Come to the police department, either window, either records or to the dispatch window. There's two safety windows in there. The one on the right is our records department. The other one on the left is our communications. The notebook's there. There's a sign-up sheet. Piece of cake. Just sign your willingness to follow the rules and you're golden.
Fantastic. Get out there, folks. You're actually doing a public service by hunting, and maybe you'll get that big buck the chief was talking about. You've been listening been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Doug, I'm looking for a very specific pre-owned vehicle, but I don't even know what it is yet.
That's okay, Bob. We're trained professionals here at Waring Chevrolet. We'll feel what you're looking for.
Like car whispers?
Exactly. We stand on a lot and bam, the right vehicle finds you.
Wow, that sounds like magic.
It's not magic. We have over 65 pre-owned vehicles staring at us on the lot, but if we don't have the specific one, we'll track it down.
Let the car whispers. I mean the professionals at Waring Chevrolet help you find your next ride. 107 East Alger online, waringsheridan.com.
This Friday, you want to be in Douglas, Wyoming for a Dancing in the Dirt, rip-roaring good time at the Wyoming State Fair Foundation concert featuring Tris Munsick and the Innocents.
Quicksand, one more time again.
And Mickey and the Motorcars. Grab your friends and your boots and get to Douglas Friday night at 7 and dance in the dirt. Support the foundation by getting your tickets at wystatefair.com or at the gate.
It's time, and it's only for a short time. Time for you to save up to 80% on thousands of new and like-new items like generators, tents, binoculars, scopes, kitchen goods, furniture, electronics, office chairs, cameras, knives, hunting gear, and so much more. All at hugely discounted prices. This massive liquidation sale is 4 days only, August 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th at Ranchester Town Hall from 8 till 4 daily.
Boating season is underway and safety should be on all watercraft users' minds. Are your life jackets up to date? Are there enough to fit everyone on board? And do they still fit? Before you head to the lake this summer, do a quick check-through of all your safety gear, fire extinguisher, air horn, throwable device, lights, so on, and update or fix them. A fun summer on the water starts with being safe first. Sponsored by the Wyoming Game and Fish, Wyoming Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
It is Thursday, and that means it's time for Hop Eyes on SheridanMedia.com. Right now, you can head over there and find deals for up to 50% off of retail value. This week, we have dining gift certificates, service gift certificates, merchandising gift certificates, and a bunch more. You can find whatever it is you're looking for all from local Sheridan retailers, and they all start at half off of retail value. Head over right now to SheridanMedia.com and click on the Hop Eyes button and place your bids. Hurry, though, bidding ends tonight at 8 p.m.
This is Ed McIntosh with your song requests on Classic Country Sunday. We're live from 8 until noon every Sunday on KWYO.